Welcome to another episode of the Autonomous Ask the Expert podcast. I am Chris, Technology Manager at the Autonomous. We are an open platform bringing together global players in autonomous mobility to collaboratively work on the biggest challenges in our domain. In case you haven't marked it red in your calendar, the date of the next main event is fixed. It's going to be the 14th of September of 2023, and it will happen, like every year, in the Imperial Palace of Vienna. Another important session that I would like to announce today is the next session of our expert circle on safety and regulation. This meeting will happen on the 7th of March. If you would like to learn more, please visit our homepage or contact us via email. But for today's podcast, I would like to introduce you to my guests today. There's Riccardo Vincelli, who is a director for functional safety competence at Renesas. And we have Xavier Touati, who is a senior manager for ADAS system architecture, also at Renesas. Riccardo and Xavier, it's a pleasure talking to you today.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having us here. We are very glad to have the chance to contribute to this podcast and to discuss about the autonomous.
Welcome, Riccardo and Xavier. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about your company and what you are personally working on?
Our company, Renesas, is a leading semiconductor vendor. We are the world leader for automotive MCU, resulting from merger between Hitachi, Mitsubishi, and NEC. And we've been committed to automotive for decades, with powertrain, chassis, body, infotainment, and for the last 10 years, too, for ADAS and AD applications. So safety is part of the Renesas DNA from its early days in automotive, and we are recognized in the industry as one of the benchmarks. As an organization, we have established functional safety as a core technology with dedicated marketing and architecture team, a FUSA standardization and assessment capability, as well as with system architects in charge of consolidating requirements and needs for ADAS products. So I would say that's what our company is. Then from my side, I started back in 2005 in the company as a field application engineer, and I moved then to marketing and automotive. And I've been looking at products for ADAS since 2014, with a big focus on SOC and safety, and then also security and artificial intelligence on top. I'm now contributing in the system architecture team to the ARCA product line, which is addressing sensors such as smart camera, LiDAR, and surround view systems. With products I worked on previously were the ARCA V3H and the V3M. And also I've been working on central processing units for NCAP and level 2 systems with the ARCA V4H. And my current focus is on how to address the needs for level 3 and level 4 AD systems together with the FUSA specialized team.
Wow, that sounds interesting, Xavier. Riccardo, can you tell a little bit our audience about what you were doing as a functional safety manager?
So, okay, I've been also at the company many years, so more than 20 years in Renesas. And I started dealing with functional safety back in 2005. Before that, I had experience as a design engineer, design manager. When I started functional safety, I started with the classical dual-core locksteps for basically chassis application like braking and steering. And then, and since then, I moved up into many different kinds of applications, airbags, body applications, dashboards, ADAS, and of course, now moving to direction of AD. So quite an exciting past. Currently, my focus is as a technical assessor for our products, so going from MCUs, system on chips, analog, and software. I'm also very much involved in many standardization activities, either directly or through my team. So we are part of the ISO standards, SAE, UL, IEC. We are also involved in many international conferences as a presenter, moderator, or also chairman.
Interesting, Riccardo. Thank you very much for the insights here. What I would like to know, yeah, I think this is very interesting. Yeah, from a semiconductor's point of view, where do you, as Renesas representatives, see the biggest challenges in the AV industry? How is your daily work affected by that?
I think, okay, from my side, I would like to start more with an assessment viewpoint. So quite different from maybe what Xavier will say later. So from the assessment, AD caused really a big impact on us because really before in the legacy applications, we had a very solid background, not only Renesas, but the full community about defining comprehensive safety concepts, judge suitability, so really working as well as a safety element of the context. In the field of AV, there are still too many open points that a single company cannot address those. So our focus had to be kind of adapted and ensuring more that the information we provide are fully correct and reflecting the capability of our components to then enable our customers to move to the next steps. So we cannot really provide any more suitability for a particular ADAS or AD applications or let me say some kind of SAE levels. So the concept of a safety element of the context that was really great in the ISO 26062, mm-hmm. I feel that when we move to AD, is not yet fully working because you need still a strong cooperation across companies.
Thank you, Ricardo, for your insights here. How would you see this, Xavier? How would you rate the biggest challenges that the AV industry is currently facing?
Yeah, from my side, the biggest challenge that comes to my mind is the system complexity. We have been engaged in ADAS and AD since, I said, 2014 from my side, and we have seen in the past inflating expectations for autonomous vehicles, particularly from 2017 down to 2021. Where many OEM CEOs were announcing both investments and plans for enabling the technology with a clear timing in mind when they wanted to see this. And almost all of them needed to revise their plan and slow down expectation. And my understanding is this is due to the system complexity for sensing, creating the environment model, taking decision. This complexity is enormous. Level four is the first time the system needs to cope with the real world environment and to be responsible at the same time for the car occupant safety. And as Ricardo just said, there is no state-of-the-art proven to manage this. So we need the combination of the newest technologies, such as artificial intelligence, together with what we master and what we can demonstrate so that we can ensure, in my view, dependability and increase the ODD. But this is an enormous challenge, I would say. Other key challenge in Renesas' perspective is cost of the solution. Basically, level four requires tremendous amounts of sensors. It requires diversity, combining cameras, radar, LIDARs, as well as what I would call sky shooting performance and on top safety. So this leads to a cost that limits penetration and limits the spread of the solutions. I would say the investments are more difficult and the equation is in the end difficult to solve, but still everybody understands that's the path we have to go and that solutions are needed in that space. Finally, I would say what's affecting our daily work is deriving from this complexity. So the main ones in my case are computing performance and safety. For performance, we have to define how to scale the architectures up to a performance target that we don't know exactly because the systems are being developed and we have to keep also complexity and cost under control to remain competitive in the market. The performance targets are also changing over time because you freeze the hardware, but then you also have to enable new features which are developed and released via OTA. And I would say one clear example in this field is artificial intelligence. We basically started with CNNs, convolutional neural networks. Mm-hmm. Now we're working with transformers and nobody knows what the next step will be, nor how much performance this will draw, and still we have to be able to adapt and to master this fast-evolving technology. So this translates for us into higher performance needs, but also higher flexibility needs in our solutions. For safety side, I would say even if Renesas knows how to make safe chips, we have to set the balance right between what the level 4 AD architecture needs, let's say we anticipate, and what the various market players will in the end decide to use as a safety architecture. So for us, the impact is we, even more than for traditional applications, we have to find the right balance between performance, scalability, cost, safety, and time to market in our daily work. Yeah.
Interesting. Thanks, Xavier. Let me come back to what Ricardo said earlier, that Ricardo and his team are working on standardization activities in all different standardization bodies. And as you know, the EV industry is trying to solve, let's say, this grand challenge of EV safety by working together on those standards. We all know about ISO 26262, SOTI, Fuel 4600, and so on, to name a few. Ricardo, where do you see gaps that would need to be filled?
Yeah, good question. I mean, for sure, talking about AD, ISO 26262, the ISO 21448, so SOTIF, UL 4600, are definitely key standards that every engineer should master, should know, should comply. That's is kind of the Bible. From our side, we are fully involved across all three standards since many, many years, since the beginning, because we feel it's important to engage with the different experts in the working groups to contribute to steer the direction and also ensure the consistency. So as you mentioned, we have so many standards and the consistency is also very important. There are also other references that you didn't mention. For example, there is ISO PAS 8800, this is for artificial intelligence, or the ISO TS 5083. All those are currently under development. They are not fully ISO standards, but they are more either publicly available specifications or technical specifications. So they are not normative, but they are very important because they capture the results of many discussions between the working teams, the working groups. And the target is to provide a first quick guidance to the community, but also try to get feedbacks to understand if this can work and what we can improve and so on. Potentially, I think it's also interesting to mention the ISO TR 9839. This is for predictive maintenance, also under development, and is a good reference. It's a technical report at this time, so again, informative, and will provide a summary of existing publications on the topic. So attend detecting faults is not sufficient anymore in the field of AD, but you need to predict when things may start to fail. Now, it's important to add here, the amount of guidance is growing exponentially. Last year, especially this year, we will see many standards being published, but this is just a first step. And we have to accept that today AD is still evolving, and any reference, any publication standard are kind of a snapshot of what the community has defined and is seeing in the field. But still things will evolve. We have to wait for regulation as well to evolve and understand how the really standardizations and regulations will fit together. And there are for sure many still technical, legal and commercial aspects, commercial gaps that we have to fill in order to offer functionalities where we can remove the human from the loop. Unless we talk about the very restricted ODD, like kind of low speed pods and so on. So I think it's also clear that the topics under the scope of the ISO 26062 are not the blockers. I think those are kind of very well defined. We know how to handle, no big issues. The key challenges today are, at least what I see, sufficient recognitions of the environment that is surrounding the vehicle, predict the behavior of all the actors. So you need to define your driving path, also knowing where the actors will be when you're going to be there. And the path needs to be safe, but also giving the acceptable user experience. So you don't want to drive in a very, very slow way or give priority always to other cars or stop your system when there is when it's dark outside. So the user experience is also very important. One point as well for me is the unknowns. So we know that today we cannot judge everything. There will be some unknowns. Things that will come up, we see in the news every day, things that are coming up when you're using your AD. But okay, we need to cope with these unknowns in a safe way, and that will be very challenging. So all constrained to a cost that can be acceptable for the society to motivate us to pay for it. We have to convince the society to buy such vehicles, and then the cost needs to be worth the experience they're getting and all these benefits. So clearly there are a lot of challenges that are still very open in this. And the standardization is a key initiative, it's very important, but it is not the only solution. So we still need to work together.
Adding up on your thoughts, Ricardo, as you and our audience might know, we as the Autonomous, we are also facilitating working groups to create safety reference solutions for given problem statements in our domain. What do you think about this approach, which is to explicitly talk about how to solve a problem in detail?
Definitely, I fully follow your initiatives, even the meeting very soon about safety regulations. I really like the way that you're openly talking about the challenges, you exchange ideas. I think that is a must, honestly, especially to define and to move to a consensus about the how is very important. Mm-hmm. This is because we have to define a state of the art that today does not exist. And then talking openly about the challenges, solutions, of course, can be somehow a competitive also aspect we have to control, but is the only solution to talk openly about it is the problems we are all facing. So in my view, the initiative is fully appreciated. I really like this. What I will say that is also very important to be clear about the risks that are associated with the proposed how, because we need to avoid that it is perceived by the public as a fully validated solution when potentially is not yet the case. So I feel that it's very important to define the how, but it's also very important to define the why. So readers can really understand what was the motivation behind, what's happening if I change something to really, we want to target safety. And so talking is important, defining how is very important, to define state of the arts, to understand the why, the background behind is also very important.
Hey, interesting, thanks. Xavier, what are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts go into a similar direction what Ricardo mentioned. So I believe it's interesting initiative to pull together the major players and confront their key requirements, define together a way to solve the issues. And this will help figuring out common architecture solutions and enable recognition of the appropriateness of the solution. And in the end, it will facilitate customer acceptance. On the other hand, just like Ricardo mentioned, AD systems are in the early stages, and as a large market player, we see many different architectures from the various OEMs. So we see they are competing in this field, and that level 4 architecture is sometimes a mean to have for them a unique solution. So this kind of cooperation will definitely help, and it will help go towards standardization like we have in airbag or other systems that are more mature, I would say. Mm-hmm. And it will improve the system reliability, safety, and cost in the end. So we fully believe the autonomous is an important initiative to get into standardization. This is unique, I would say, today in the landscape, in our view.
Thank you for your thoughts on this, Xavier. To my understanding, from a semiconductor point of view, architecture is in general a big topic, I would say. In the last year in this industry, I have learned that everyone has a different understanding when you talk about architecture, depending on their personal background. Yeah? Sometimes it is understood as software architecture, sometimes it is some chip IP, yeah? Sometimes it's an ECU architecture. Everybody has a different understanding. Xavier, what is your understanding here, and what comes to your mind when I say safety and architecture?
Yeah, you are very right. We also see that there are multiple levels of discussions or thoughts when we talk about architecture. When we talk to OEMs, they are looking at systems of systems. They have multiple ECUs, they have connections, they have all of the constraints for each ECU function, performance, limitations, where to locate them, what dimensioning, cabling, and also how to scale these ECUs according to their product portfolio. But as you said, as Renesas said, we are chip makers, and therefore we have a different standpoint. So we try to propose technologies and solutions to fit within their architectures. So our architecture considerations are most of the time looking inside the ECU, what are the hardware and software components that they need in order to realize an architecture, and how to connect these together based on understanding of the nominal function. Then we derive our proposed safety architecture. I would say, as example, technology, one of the hot topics in the industry today for the high performance domains is the pickup of chiplets against separated chips that would be connected via PCIe. And we basically are discussing with them what are the benefits, the pros and cons of each technology and the way they could be using these. But we are also tackling the points how we see safety brought to such server kind of technologies. So we basically propose and look at safety from ECU architecture and also inside chip architecture. We are very conscious of what is the associated costs related to safety. So if you take the example of avionics, they tend to use a 2 out of 3 architecture, which leads to tripling the system cost. This cannot be applied to privately owned vehicles, because in the end, what we are looking for is a certain mass of the market, I would say. So we therefore are building processors and software which have to reach the safety goals, but also balance performance and cost. But to give you an example, questions we have to handle are, how are the faults to be managed? Which one to be managed in software? Which one in hardware? What are the requirements which would fall on our chips and software against the ones that would have to be managed by the application developers? In the end, safety is a system-wide property. So all of the architecture levels are touched by safety. And the starting point is we have to understand the nominal function very well and then find the most optimized solutions how to address these from a safety perspective.
Interesting. Thanks, Xavier. Anything to add, Ricardo?
Yeah, okay. But let's say I can just add a few comments here. I mean, when you're looking at the AD, for sure, the considerations about availability and sort of, as Xavier mentioned, nominal performance are very important. So the architecture at first is at system level. Of course, when you're talking about the terminology, I mean, sometimes we spend more time to define methodology than to define actually the how. So yeah, it's very important to clarify this. We're coming from different viewpoints. At first of all, the architecture is at system level. So for example, the fault reaction or minimal risk conditions are imposing some system constraints and decisions that then will impact whatever you have underneath. Then, of course, moving to semiconductor components, it depends on the type of components, if it's sensor, if it's an SoC or an MCU. But definitely for a system on chip level, architecture is also very important and extremely complex. We see also today different AZ domains coexisting, possibly decomposition, even QM elements that are coexisting in the products potentially, or software or hardware. So how to find the right architecture to meet the safety requirements, but also functional requirements like performance, is clearly a big challenge. So yes, I do agree that the architecture is a big topic. It always leads me to think about the system architects. It is a role that was not much defined in the past, and now is increasingly coming to industry. So this role is really important.
Thanks, Ricardo. What would you guys say, taking the discussion maybe one level higher, what do you think are the main challenges related to bringing actually level 4 to the road?
It comes back to what I mentioned as difficulties. The first difficulty is the nominal performance and the ability to demonstrate the reliability of the solution. So getting the right performance for the system is extraordinarily difficult. And as the ODD expands, the system needs to cope with wider array of situations and to take the appropriate decisions. So in that scope, the usage of AI networks to handle this is considered as the way to solve these kind of issues, or let's say at least that's the best tool we have today. But as we have seen from the recent examples like ChatGPT or Google Bard, the AI system can be wrong without knowing about it. So we need to offer another layer that can guard this, basically monitor it and stop the AI when there are doubts about correctness of the decision. But this means as well that we have to avoid that such case happens too often. So this is definitely a big challenge to ensure, let's say, the user experience and deliver the nominal performance in a safe environment. Level 4 is, let's say, one step above anything else that we've developed in the past.
Interesting. Would you like to add something, Ricardo?
I fully agree with what Xavier mentioned. I think I mean, in the past, the regulations potentially were a big challenge, a big obstacle. Now I will say that they are not much anymore. I mean, we see in Germany, we have regulations now allowing also level 4 in the streets. So, of course, low speed. So I think now the main challenge is somehow also AI, so how to achieve really the nominal performance that we need, especially by extending the ODD. So I think this is becoming at the moment the biggest challenge. As I mentioned before, really how to identify the environment in a safe way, all the actors around, how to predict their path, their intentions. And I think also one of the biggest obstacles for me is the mix of autonomous vehicles and human-driven vehicles. So this kind of coexistence is really difficult. Unless we have dedicated lanes, dedicated roads, this coexistence is adding many unknowns, and is really challenging, yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you guys say from Renesas' perspective? How could Renesas contribute to this, let's call it AD safety grand challenges? And what is unique with Renesas in resolving those challenges?
I would say one of the Renesas unique points is we are able to provide safety for all the elements of the AV architecture. We are offering solutions from sensors down to actuators, hardware and software. As Ricardo explained, we have a very long history in safety. So we started in 2005 for electronic power steering systems. And since then, we have spent significant effort to have, let's say, a safety culture propagated across the company with a strong effort from Ricardo's team and also to contributing actively to all of the standards which were mentioned. Then we are able now to leverage this experience and know-how from microcontroller domain to high-performance SoCs, which are the core computer of the AD system. And we are able to scale this to very high-performance classes. So we've provided on the market AZC SoCs with the Arcar V3H for ADAS, which is in mass production now. And we introducing this year the next generation of our ADAS and AD SoCs with Arcar V4H up to AZLD for level 2 plus and level 3 applications. I think this shows how much we care about safety and what are the, let's say, the level of performance that we are able to bring at the same time in the market. Then, since Renesas has evolved and integrated different analog companies, we are now able to provide state-of-the-art system with functional safety for digital, analog, and power solutions. So it means, in the end, we are able to, let's say, populate most of the ECU and to really provide a system solution to support our customers and the OEMs. So I would say this, with our safety DNA, is really one of the core Renesas contribution to the development of AV. I would say another key point in our view is the OEM trust in Renesas. And we saw that many recognized our consistency in delivering safety-related solutions. And this is a key strength for us, yeah, to move forward.
Thank you, Xavier. Would you like to add something onto that, Ricardo?
I can only stress again our safety DNA. That I'm really kind of proud that I've been working for safety and as an assessor, internal assessor in the company for many years. And we have now a very good relation internally, very good way of working, and safety is a key priority from all really position in the company. So I think for this, I'm very proud as what we do as a company, as safety is key.
Yeah, I would totally agree to this. I think this is also what unites T-Autonomous and Renesas and also TT Tech Auto, who is behind T-Autonomous, that safety is the key.
Be honest about what you have, capabilities, the risks, this is very important.
If you're a regular listener of our podcast, you might know that I usually ask two recurring questions at the end of our interviews. The first one, if you were at the beginning of your career today, Xavier, what would you choose to study and specialize in? What is the most important skill needed that will be required in the industry in the upcoming years?
What I'm going to say is likely no surprise, but I believe AI is transforming the world. I mentioned ChatGPT. You can also see WALL-E or other artificial intelligence today, and whoever knows about the next ones which will come to life. So it's one of the keys of tomorrow, in my view. and definitely for automotive, but also for everyday life. So I think that's a very key and very interesting field of study. Then it needs on top safety and security, which translate into trustability, dependability for the automotive market. So I feel being able to tackle both sides of the coins is really interesting. And I would say another interesting field, I feel like quantum computing is another big revolution coming to us. So also from a security standpoint, you know, quantum computing is a big deal. So it requires specific algorithms, but I would wonder what would be the possibilities when AI and quantum computing come together. I think there are lots of interesting fields for students to specialize now.
I can add here if you want. I think a system architect is a key role. As I mentioned before already, is always more and more important. And of course, functional safety, system safety, and dependability in general is something that is key. I'm also quite happy to see that many universities are adapting and they are offering today updating classes, degrees. Honestly, when I started my career many years ago, to an hotel, so the options were quite limited. And myself, I've done electronic engineering. Today, I see that we already have some extra degrees also moving to more functional safety and autonomous driving and so on. Software is another big topic. Here, I'm not referring to traditional software like IT software and so on, but really embedded safety critical software. I think we can really accept that we are today with a complexity at the software level that is honestly very scary. So to be able to master this kind of complexity, to really have a safe software, you need to have a proper education on embedded software. That's also extremely important.
Okay, interesting. We talked about our young listeners. Since we know that we also have some managers in our audience, what would you recommend those managers in the EV sector? What are the priorities they need to have the companies focus on, Ricardo?
What would I recommend with my, let's say, my assessor hat on is to be very careful with the challenges around the EV sector. So we're let's say, as an assessor, I should be somehow reluctant and slow in acceptance. But I like EV, I'm really supporting, but really we have to go with the right steps. We are clearly moving ahead with fantastic progresses that we can see every day. But any issue in the field, even if it's not caused by a specific AV, may slow down things down and move us back. We see this already today. I mean, a few years ago, Javier mentioned before, we were talking about AD like it was reality. Today, we are mainly focusing on ADAS. AD is becoming a kind of more a kind of future target. So the reality is somehow has changed. So we see already today that something that was done in the past push us a bit back to reset to basics. I think, okay, it's reasonable. So a progressive approach for me is very important to gain confidence, not only from the management engineers and protect also from a legal point of view, have a really safe solution, but also from the public. So any kind of mistakes, even very minor, will affect the public perception and push AD out. So my key recommendation, let's be careful, let's move into reasonable steps.
Xavier, what would you recommend the managers in our audience?
My thoughts go into a similar direction like Ricardo. I would say to managers, we have to focus on the product and make sure the expectations for it are correctly set by understanding what are the complexity and what are the risks in execution associated. And then through this, you can set appropriately the ambitions and the plan for execution with your team to allow that the execution really meets the target. So I would say tackling correctly this complexity and making a solid plan is definitely where I would recommend to have a focus.
Okay, thank you very much, Xavier and Ricardo. Our podcast episode is actually coming to an end. Thank you very much for taking your time and giving us some insights today.
Thanks, really was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Christoph, as well.
Thank you to all of you out there who listened to us today. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Xavier and Ricardo. See you guys soon.